Imagine a dinner party where the topic turns not to politics or gossip, but to the very nature of love itself. What would emerge if some of the greatest minds tackled this most human of experiences? This is precisely what unfolds in Plato's Symposium, where love is dissected, celebrated, and ultimately elevated to something far beyond our modern notion of romance. Set against the backdrop of ancient Athens in 416 BCE, this dialogue captures a pivotal moment, a drinking party among the intellectual elite, each offering their unique perspective on Eros, love. What makes this text so revolutionary isn't just its philosophical depth, but how it speaks directly to our modern yearning for connection. When we swipe right or pine for the one, we're participating in a conversation that began over two millennia ago. The Symposium reminds us that our search for love isn't just personal, it's fundamentally human, reflecting our deepest nature and highest aspirations. The evening begins with young Phaedrus proposing that love is among the oldest gods, deserving highest reverence. For him, love's greatest gift is inspiring noble action. Nothing motivates virtue like wanting to appear worthy in your beloved's eyes. An army of lovers would be invincible, he declares, as we strive to be our best selves when watched by those we adore. This surge of courage appears whenever someone we care for is watching, whether a teenager performing skateboard tricks for their crush or a professional pushing through exhaustion to make their partner proud. Phaedrus illustrates this through Alcestis, who died for her husband, a sacrifice so moving the gods revived her, and Achilles, who avenged his beloved Patroclus knowing it meant his own death. Pausanias, an older and more sophisticated speaker, then distinguishes between common love, focused solely on physical pleasure, and heavenly love, concerned with character and intellect. The lover of the body goes away as soon as the bloom of youth passes, he observes, while true love endures because it's rooted in something deeper. Relationships based on physical attraction often fizzle once initial excitement fades, while connections grounded in mutual respect and shared values deepen with time. Pausanias suggests that meaningful love requires appreciating someone's inner qualities, their mind, character, and potential. Physician Eryximachus broadens the discussion by viewing love as a force extending beyond human relationships to all natural phenomena. As a doctor, he sees love as creating harmony between opposing bodily elements. Proper balance produces health, while imbalance leads to disease. This perspective presents love as a universal principle of harmony evident in music, farming, and weather patterns. Love directs everything that occurs, Eryximachus concludes, both human and divine. Comic playwright Aristophanes follows with the dialogue's most memorable speech, a myth explaining our sense of incompleteness. Originally, he claims, humans were round beings with four arms, four legs, two faces, and two sets of genitals, existing in male-male, female-female, or male-female combinations. When these beings grew arrogant, Zeus split each in half, creating today's humans. Love is born into every human being, Aristophanes explains. It calls back the halves of our original nature together. It tries to make one out of two and heal the wound of human nature. This explains that uncanny feeling when meeting someone special, that sense of recognition, of finding a missing piece of ourselves, and why physical union provides temporary but incomplete satisfaction. Young host Agathon delivers a speech as beautiful as it is logically flawed. Love, he claims, must be the most beautiful and virtuous of gods, young, delicate, fluid, dwelling in the softest parts of beings. Love embodies every virtue, justice, never violent, moderation, mastering pleasures, courage, conquering even Eros, and wisdom, inspiring all creative arts. His poetic description captures how love appears to the infatuated mind, perfect, divine, transformative. Haven't we all experienced this idealization when freshly in love? The way our beloved seems flawless, the relationship destined? Agathon's speech represents this intoxicating but unsustainable perspective. Love as we wish it to be, rather than as it truly is. His contribution articulates love's aspirational quality and connection to our highest ideals of beauty and goodness. Even when reality complicates our romantic visions, this initial inspiration often propels us toward genuine growth. When Socrates speaks, he transforms the conversation. Through Diotima's teachings, he presents love not as a god, but as a spirit, daemon, something between mortal and divine that interprets and transports human things to the gods and divine things to men. Born from resource, poros, and poverty, penya, love is both destitute and resourceful in pursuing beauty. This paradox reveals desire's nature, always lacking yet seeking, never satisfied yet persistent. Love is fundamentally wanting to possess the good forever. Physical attraction is merely the first rung on Diotima's ladder of love. We begin by loving one beautiful body, then recognize beauty in many bodies. We progress to valuing beauty of soul over physical appearance, then appreciate beauty in activities and knowledge. Finally, we glimpse beauty itself, eternal, unchanging, perfect. This ascent doesn't reject physical attraction, but treats it as the starting point of a greater journey. Like appreciating a single note before understanding an entire symphony, we move from particular instances toward comprehension of beauty's essence. The philosopher sees beautiful bodies, souls, and ideas as manifestations of the same fundamental reality. Just as this sublime vision reaches its peak, the dialogue takes a dramatic turn with the drunken entrance of Alcibiades, handsome, charismatic, and desperately in love with Socrates. His raw account provides a powerful counterpoint to the theoretical discussions. Alcibiades confesses his failed attempts to seduce Socrates, hoping to exchange physical beauty for wisdom. Despite sharing a blanket, I got up after having slept with Socrates, as if I'd slept with my father or older brother. This rejection left him torn between philosophical aspiration and worldly ambition. This scene illustrates the tension between love's ideal form and its messy reality. Alcibiades recognizes Socrates' wisdom but cannot fully commit to the philosophical path, showing that intellectual understanding doesn't guarantee transformation. As night concludes with most guests asleep, Socrates discusses with the few remaining how the same person should be able to write both comedy and tragedy, an unfinished conversation embodying the symposium's spirit of ongoing inquiry without final conclusions. The ancient text remains relevant by illuminating our complex experiences of love, from initial attraction to deeper appreciation of character to the transformative power of genuine connection. The ladder of love remains a powerful metaphor for relationships at their best. The symposium challenges us to see romantic yearnings not as ends, but as gateways to something greater. In a culture fixated on finding the one, Plato suggests love's true purpose might be to help us become more fully ourselves, ascending toward an appreciation of beauty itself. When we love deeply and wisely, we don't just find another, we find ourselves and glimpse something of the divine.